This is The Platform Rules, Digital Transformation for Product Companies, hosted by Propel.
For the final episode of this season of The Platform Rules, we bring you Rule 10, Leading in the Customer First Revolution, with special guest, Propel CEO, Ray Heim. Ray shares insight and wisdom from his decades-long career in product management and product strategy, as well as what it's like leading a company of propeller heads today. We also get his thoughts on companies to watch. The Platform Rules is taking a short break following this episode, and we'll be back with more guests in just a few weeks. If you'd like to catch up on previous episodes or check out other Propel podcasts in the meantime, visit us at propelsoftware.com/podcast. Here's your host, Dario Ambrosini, with Propel CEO, Ray Heim.
Ray, thanks for joining us today.
Dario, thanks for having me.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Look, Ray, we always learn so much when we chat with you. You've had a 40-year career that spans from you started with a manufacturer, you had 10 years as the head of product strategy at Agile Software, founder of Propel. You've really seen the gamut. And during that period, you've seen just a lot of evolution of product companies. So I'd really like to hear from you, who's seen it all. What really stands out in the product space over the past 40 years in terms of the evolution and the business transformation that you've seen during those periods?
That's a great question. 40 years, wow, that's really hard to even grok. Yesterday, I know the Internet Explorer was finally retired. it's interesting when we see technology shifts and the movement of what happens. But really, that's probably the biggest anchor is that, we're seeing continued innovation, compression in innovation. Things are happening, at a much, much faster rate. The demands on product companies to continue to be innovative and rapidly innovate. And then also thinking about expanding in global markets has probably been the biggest shift. And along with that the business models of how people think about conceiving products, launching them, delivering them to many, many global markets through different selling channels has probably been the most dramatic change I've seen. And when I started out in the business, it was really an engineering product marketing driven path to thinking about what's next and if we built it, they would come. But today, more so than ever, the voice of the customer and understanding what your customers are really looking for and thinking about how do you retain that customer, not only in SaaS software companies like us, but every product company is thinking about customer lifetime value, retaining customers, and more physical product companies are becoming like SaaS software companies. It's products as a service. And that's probably the biggest, the biggest side, if I think about it in business transformation. There's been a ton of other things that have gone on as well with supply chains moving globally and the like. But I think the biggest to date is this evolution of design anywhere, build anywhere, sell anywhere through many channels. And then how do you own the customer forever?
Building on to your last point about customer-centric product models, we just introduced product value management, and you explained how it really is focused on the customer and today's product landscape. So could you give us an overview of product value management and why it's important in the context of the evolution that you just described?
Yeah, certainly. Well, we just launched it at our most recent Propulsion customer event, and we did a lot of work. It's really the culmination of, the 20 plus years that I've been in enterprise software and in and around product development and product launch teams and watching, early roots of product data management, which was about engineering CAD file management, to then product lifecycle management. That ultimately drove a path where people were launching products with their supply chains to then really looking at where the gap was between launching and driving successful products. And so, you know, today we see this gap between products and product operation teams that include the supply chain and the commercial teams that drive product success. So, you know, for us, we see this as a natural extension of where the market is looking for a solution like what we're doing in product management that bridges that gap. And probably the last piece that goes there is that between the product teams and the commercial teams, we see a movement where more people are thinking of how to design, you know, mobile offers and product operations. So if I was going to predict where things might be going, I think there's going to be more and more product managers and chief product officers that become orchestrators of product operations and are really looking at the key metrics of ensuring they're launching successful products.
Okay, so building on that, you talk a lot about customer first revolution, and that the rewards for those who get it right is massive. And we've talked to a few of our customers on this show, we've talked to a few other industry experts who have really touched upon the same thing. So I'd like to hear from you some of the tips that you have. What are some ways that you see product companies can join this customer first revolution? And even better, how can they become leaders?
Well, that's a great question. You know, in the past, again, we talked about, you know, the old roots of PDM and PLM. And again, it was focused on people efficiencies and more engineering manufacturing handoffs. Today, product companies that are forward-looking, and I'd say, you know, that are, you know, some of the best brands are thinking about it in the early side, where we used to think about design for supply chain or design for manufacturability. And really what they're thinking about is design for customer lifetime value. And so as they bring out their products and their product portfolio, how do they think about an initial launch that may be a platform that they can build on, that they can derive these recurring revenue streams and provide added value to the customer on that platform, again, to retain them for life and continue to garner additional revenue streams, as well as build deeper brand loyalty and customer engagement with products that they love and are delighted by. And that is not just in consumer packaged goods. You know, products I like to use examples like Traeger, or that has an amazing grill, but they also have the ability where you can subscribe for pellets and become a master chef through their classes, and you can get Traeger provisions and get a meal in a box. Well, that's, you know, an easy example we can all look at. But we're seeing it in medical device companies that are driving better patient outcomes with adding more and more capabilities in their product lines when you're doing, say, cancer screening and blood assay testing as well. One of our customers, Garden Health, continues to add more and more capabilities to test for many, many more different types of cancers or other diseases through early warning detection. So, you know, better patient outcomes, better lives. We have other customers that are in focusing on managing or early detection of diabetes or reversing diabetes, you know, for extended life. So they're all looking at ways of how do they drive these ongoing added value relationships into their products. And again, really listening to the voice of the customer and then serving that need, and then quickly iterating and launching new products and new capabilities beyond to continue their extension. And I believe that those great companies, you know, there's an old book called Good to Great. I think that was a Tom Collins book, Stanford professor. You know, I think the greatest companies are embracing this customer first approach and they'll continue to grow and thrive. And the companies that have built processes that are the old approach are the ones that are going to struggle and maybe laggards. And, you know, we've chatted about the shift in what used to be great companies becoming good companies, and that these smaller, more nimble companies can become great again, or ahead and beat some of the Goliaths because they take this approach.
So you touched on an interesting point here. The going back to propulsion, Geoffrey Moore said something that really stood out to me. He said that the approach of driving to a better customer outcome really was pioneered by the medical industry. And he used a couple of med device manufacturers there as an example. And then he said that a lot of the high-tech companies learned you don't sell a product, you sell an outcome. And that's the equivalent of that better patient outcome that they learned from the med device industry. The flip side is now the med device industry is learning how to bring products to market from the high-tech industry as more med devices are high-tech. So do you see part of this revolution of customer first? Are different industries just learning from each other and cherry picking the best ideas? And it doesn't matter if it's a completely different industry. They're just learning from each other and iterating and all converging towards a similar model?
That's a very loaded, great question. There's probably half an hour discussion unto itself, but I'll try to distill it down. I mean, the short answer is yes. I think that CPG, B2C companies are learning from B2B, and B2B are learning from B2C. And, I said this for the customer and the customer needs, but it really becomes understanding how the customers use and get value out of their product. So it really is designing for outcomes, to your point, as the goal from, say, the engineering, the marketing, the creative side. But then once the products are in market, it doesn't stop there. You have to understand really how the customers are using it, how they're embracing it, how they're buying it, continue to have a finger on the pulse of what the customer wants to continue to delight them. And I think that's the common theme or this big shift. So, in software and software as a service, we sell renewable subscriptions. Every year, customers have to say, we want to continue to use your software. I believe that, and we have customer success managers that really work closely to understand what our customers need, how they're using our product, and what value they're getting out of it, and what they want next. And I think every product company is going to have to continue to invest. And so in as much as you have engineering, creative design teams at the front designing and launching products, I think there'll be more and more continued investment in customer success and customer delight in product companies. So the investment dollars of, do you put it all in the front end of engineering and design? You're going to have to shift and have some balance to continue to own that customer forever, because they're going to be the voice that will help you come back to your engineering teams or creative teams to deliver that next capability that's going to continue to delight your customer.
Perfect. Great insight. Thank you. I want to come back. You mentioned Traeger earlier, and we talked a little bit about them at a high level, but based on what you just said in terms of putting the customer at the center, I know you're a big fan of Traeger, a couple of other brands that you speak of highly. Can you make it a little bit more real and just talk how Traeger actually puts the customer at the center of that experience so that our audience can just get a better feel for what that means in practice?
Yeah, I think they really understand what their customers are looking for. Their customers are not looking for the lowest cost, throw briquettes in a grill, take it to the beach and barbecue something. They're teaching people, or their customers are looking for a grilling experience and a best meal experience. And really it's the meal outcome of how to prepare an end-to-end meal that is going to delight your family. So if you enjoy being the chef, it's going to serve up a really cool meal on Saturday night for your family and friends. You know, upcoming 4th of July here is, you know, great opportunity for all of us to do that. People that like to do it, they think that through, and then they design not only the product that can, you know, cook the meal, but then how do they deliver that outcome through Traeger provisions as a case in point, the meal in a box, you know, a brisket, the cornbread, the barbecue baked beans, everything else that's going to go along for that meal experience and that meal outcome. And if I can, you know, cook that meal, know that I'm going to get it right every time because of how the product works, the user interface, the intuitive mobile interface that tells me when the pellet is running low, keep the right temperature, the fact that I've got a very direct way to test the temperature of the meat. So my wife likes it rare. I like it medium rare. My son likes it medium well. I can deliver what they want. So everybody gets an amazing experience. I can cook like, you know, some of the best steak restaurants that I go to now, or best restaurants that deliver those kind of experience. I feel like I'm able, as, you know, Ray Hine individual, to deliver a meal, a restaurant quality meal experience, because I've been outfitted and I can continue to learn from others and, you know, through a community and do that. So I know that's a long-winded answer, but there are many, many products that I have in my, that I use. And those are the types of companies I want to continue to buy products from, because I get that delightful outcome across the board.
So great insight. Again, I think it always helps when we make it real for listeners. I want to conclude with a question that's a little bit more personal in nature, but still on the professional side. So you're the CEO of Propel. You've seen a lot of changes, especially recently. So what do you find to be most challenging? What do you find to be the most challenging part, of being a CEO? Just whether it's the day-to-day or challenges across the board, what do you spend your nights up thinking about?
You know, we're 7 years old now. You know, we've gone past the tipping point of starting a company from a white sheet of paper to, you know, building a product that we feel are delighting our customers. And we see that in our App Exchange reviews, G2 crowd reviews, our propulsion event that we get, you know, amazing customer reviews, and customers want to talk about what they're doing with Propel and how they're getting real value from Propel. So that's the fun part, you know, that focusing on delighting our customers, you know, first. And then also really thinking about, as a CEO, my customers are our employees, our propeller heads. So how do we delight our propeller heads? How do we keep our propeller heads excited about, you know, what we're doing and want to continue on this journey with us and amaze and delight our customers with great products? So, you know, as a CEO, I think about obviously customers and employees first on that side, and building just a great culture of diversity and inclusion, promoting people through career paths, and thinking about the employees along the way are the things that I spend a lot of my own personal time on. And then on the outside, it's at the macro side of how can we, you know, as a company make an impact, you know, in the world, both either through, you know, our small way of giving back, but also helping our customers, you know, propel their own innovation and propel their businesses. And at the end of the day, if we focus on those things, our employees and our customers, you know, ultimately we're going to continue to grow, deliver shareholder value, and we're going to be, you know, the mainstay global product value management in this category. We're helping redefine and extend in a big way. So the next 10 to 20 years, it's how do we build this ongoing, take this mission, this idea, and become that global market leader that we have the opportunity to do so.
Ray, I know you share a lot of insights. Anybody in the audience who wants to hear more about what you have to say, where do you recommend they find you?
Well, probably the two best places. One is go to propelsoftware.com, and through our chat bot, just say you want to continue the dialogue and continue the conversation. You listen to this podcast and you have ideas or questions. So certainly myself or and others will make sure we respond. And then I'm very active on LinkedIn. So you can send me a direct message if you have some ideas or you want to challenge some of the thinking and the like. But I'd love to continue the conversation if you'd like to do so as well.
Perfect. Ray, I know your time is valuable. I appreciate you spending some of it with us. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Cheers. Thanks again.
Thank you for listening to the Platform Rules Digital Transformation for Product Companies. You can listen to this show and more at propelplm.com/podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, please share with a colleague, leave a review, or email us at podcast@propelplm.com with any feedback or questions. Until next time, Platform Rules.